You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you tonight. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come to you and know, Father, that you're there. We can come to you and know that that you have our back, Father, that you're there for us. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. And God, there's not anything that we can't go through. So tonight, I thank you, Lord, for this service tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the anointing. I thank you, Lord, for the power that is going to come upon us tonight, the anointing that's going to beset here tonight and touch those that are listening and touch me as well, in Jesus' name. Amen. What I want to talk about tonight is there's really two words that I have become to realize that we deal with on a daily basis. And I know if I deal with it, you deal with it, so don't think I'm the only one going through any problems, because I'm not. I know 82 more that went through last week. But there's two words that I want to center in on tonight. One is fear, and the other one is the opposite of that, which is faith. And I know that fear is something that all of us have to deal with on a daily basis. It's something that no matter where we're at, what we're doing, what we're experiencing, what we're going through, there's always this little fear factor. And, you know, the definition, or the way I like to look at it, our pastor's an acronym for fear, is false evidence appearing real. But let's look at what fear really is. You know, fear in our lives can come in many different ways. It always comes from the devil. But fear is, again, false evidence appearing real. It can be fear of not being accepted. And believe me, we see that every week at the food bank. And I don't want to preach on food bank, but I want to tell you, there's people that come through there every week that has fear. And, you know, we just about got them to the point they won't say fear anymore. They'll say they're going through a problem. Because I like to use that example of what Jesus, I said, if Jesus was standing here in front of you tonight and you were facing a serious problem, and he'd walk up to you and he'd look at you and say, "Fear not, Diane, just believe." That's what he's going to tell you. Jesus was never afraid of anything. There was never any fear that he had while he was on the face of this earth. And there's reasons for that. But if he can walk without fear, we can walk without fear. Now, it takes a lot of work, it takes some dedication, it takes some commitment to get there. But you can overcome fear. But fear is just fear of not making it. Fear of going under. You know, where there's no hope, there's fear. Where there's no hope, there's no opportunity. Where there's no hope, there's no success. Where there's no hope, there's not life. At least not a good quality of life. And that's what happens when you get in fear. You have no hope. You have no way of knowing how you're going to get through this situation, how you're going to deal with it. Another one that we see, fear is, I've been diagnosed with a problem, and I don't know what I'm going to do. because the doctor says, I'm going to die in 6 months. See, God's word completely contradicts that. There's two reports. There's God's report, there's man's report. But our problem is that going back to what Chris spoke on the other day and going back to what our preacher was talking about, Sunday was meditating on the Word of God. We meditate on what we're thinking about, what's in our mind at that time. We either meditate on the negative part of life, or we meditate on the good part of life, which is God, His Word, and His Word, what His Word will do for us. But when you're running down the middle of the road and you're facing a situation, you got two choices. You either fear or you go get in faith, one of the two. And most of us, from a natural standpoint, immediately go to the fear factor. But we have fear of losing our house, our car, our job. What are we going to do? I've been working on this job for 35 years, and now I'm not going to have a job. What am I going to do, Susan? Going to get another one, aren't we? We're going to believe God for another job. We're going to believe God, Maurice, for a way out, aren't we? We're going to pray, and we're going to believe that God's going to provide for us, because He said in His Word that He wished above all things that we would prosper and be in health, even if our soul prosper. He said, I'll provide for you. I'll provide for you. I'll give to you. If I give to the Israelites out in the desert for 40 years, I provided food and water for them. I provided everything that they need, their clothes and all this. Can I not provide for you? Can I not get you a job? Can I not give you those things that you need in your life? And it's not just the things that you need, it's the desires of your heart. God said, I'll give you the desires of your heart as well. This is a bonus that we're going to get. It's not just it's not just His Word saying it. We got to believe that God will do what He's saying. Losing. Another fear factor is losing my court battle. A good one here, fear the lack of finances. Let me tell you, when you get to the end of the month and you don't have enough money to pay the bills, and you say, what am I going to do? You know what you do, what a Christian does? A Christian starts believing. The moment they put their money in the tithes offering, they said, Lord, I thank you. If you're not doing this, you are to. God, I thank you that you have provided this seed for me to plant into this ministry, and I thank you that your word says, give is given unto you, good measure, pressed down, check it together, and running over shall men give unto my bosom. So, Father, I believe that men are going to give to my bosom. I believe that you're going to provide my need, because I'm giving to your ministry, and it's on good ground, it's in good soil, and it's going to reap a harvest. We as Christians can do that, have the authority and the ability to do that. God has given us that authority and that ability to use His word, to use His name, to receive the things that He's promised us. But when you're in fear, you don't have that. When you're in fear, you're meditating on the negative. What's going to happen? When are they going to come pick my car? When are they going to close? When are they going to evict me out of my home? When are they going to take my home out? When are they going to foreclose on my house? When are they going to come take my car? That's what fear will do for you. And it causes havoc in your life. It causes you to be miserable. It causes you to be down. It causes you to be depressed. It allows the devil to come in and do what he does best. Is intimidate you. He said, the word says, John 10:10, or Romans 10:10, John 10:10, whatever it is, 10:10. Says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. So if we're not operating in fear, the devil can't operate in our lives. Did you know that? If we're operating in faith, the devil cannot. It's like a shield being put over us, around us, and in us. He cannot touch you. He cannot come nigh you. There's not a thing he can do to you if you're in faith and you're believing. He may try to persuade you that he can do that. But did you know, when there's no fear, we paralyze the devil. Did you know that? He is paralyzed. He cannot move according to the way he would like to move in your life. But the moment you get in fear, here he comes. The moment you start meditating on the negative, here he comes. And then he'll just try to compile that and compile that and compile that. So it takes fear in order for the devil to manifest anything. So likewise, it takes faith in order for God to manifest his word. That is why that God says not to be fearful, not for one moment. I want you to go to Isaiah 41, verse 10. And this is what I was kind of saying a while ago. If Jesus was standing here, this is what he would say. He said, "Fear thou not." Verse 10, "Fear thou not that I am with thee." I'm with thee. What are you worried about? He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm right there with you. But I'm walking with you. I got my arms around you. My goodness, I got my shield around you." What makes you think the devil can do anything to you? What makes you think that? "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." I'm your God. I'm your source. I'm your financier. I'm your healer. I'm your provider. Whew. What are you worried about? What are you dismayed about? He said, on top of that, I'll strengthen you. You need strength in your body. You need strength in your marriage. You need strength in your faith. He said, I'll strengthen you. Yes, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, what did he say he would do? He said, if you don't fear, these are the things I'm going to do. I'm going to be with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. How can anybody destroy you? How can anybody hurt you? What can man do to you? When you got me, you got it all, Bubba. You don't need nothing else. And you don't need to be thinking on those negative things. You don't need to be thinking on those things that are going to be that the devil is trying to destroy you with. And then let's go to verse 11. It says, "Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee, they shall perish." He didn't say they might just run away. He said they would perish. He would take care of them. Listen, you know, we don't realize the strength and the power that we've got with God Almighty. We don't realize that God has given us the power and the authority to defeat the enemy in every avenue of our lives. Everything that we step into, everything that we, every decision that we have to make, if it's made according to God's word, we'll never be sorry of it. We'll never be sorry of it. We'll never have to go back and say, "Oh, I wish I'd have done that differently." Because you've got God's direction, you've got his wisdom, you've got his knowledge, and you've got his peace on it. And you've got his word on it. And he said, over in Isaiah, 55, 53 says, it says that the words that come out of my mouth will not return to me void, but it will accomplish for its sent and prosper in the thing that it was sent to. So when we speak God's word, when we meditate on God's word, when we take care of the fear in our life, then we can see things change in our life. If you deal with fear, you have to deal with unbelief. Your faith is not strong. No word, no faith. Okay? If you have no word, you don't get the word, you don't spend time in the word, you don't read your Bible, you don't study, you don't ask God to help you. No word, no faith. Word level is low, faith level will be low. If your word level's high, your faith level will be high. Time spent in prayer, reading the word, studying and meditating on the word should bring us to a place where we can hear the voice of God. And then breakthrough. It will come from the word from God, His voice. You know, there's some things that we can put into operation, a spiritual principle we can begin to put into operation to not only put ourselves in a position to where we're not afraid or lack, but put lack in its place. And its place, the lack, is not in your life. The place for lack is not in your life. The financial crisis the world hears about is not our crisis. We're in the body of Christ, not in a crisis mode. We are in an increase mode here at this church. We're in an increase in our own lives. Not only increases in finances, but increase in health, increase in spiritual warfare, power to defeat the enemy. We're not moved by what we see. We walk by faith and not by sight. You know, Psalms 38, 18 and 19, it says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy." 19 says, "Deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive during famine." Psalms 37, 18, 19 says, "The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. And they shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied." You want to be satisfied tonight? Get to know the Lord. Walk in faith. Walk in His Word. I don't know about you, but I'm satisfied. I am. I really am. I've got the peace of God on me. All arguments with the enemy stops at the Word of God. Fear wants you to think that promises won't come to pass. That the enemy wants you to be afraid you won't live during famine. He wants you to be afraid that you won't be satisfied during famine. But I'm here to tell you, you'll be satisfied during financial crisis. You'll be satisfied during famine. How many have ever, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many have over time, you know, sometime periods of time in their life where that there has been lack in your life? No food on the table. Didn't know where it was coming from. And somebody show up, or somebody dials you on the phone and say, "Here, I want to bring something to you." And they didn't have any idea. See, that's what I'm talking about. God's got your best interest at heart. The devil wants you to realize he wants you to get in fear about problems that we have to deal with. But you know what? We're not some old normal human being. Praise God. We are a member of the body of Christ, and God says we are overcomers and we're victorious. What are we going to do when temptation to worry sets in on us? Worrying is negative meditation, is what I said a while ago, on the word that contradicts God's word. Spending more time meditating on something that opposes God's word and not enough time meditating on God and his word and meditating on his promises. There ain't going to be no lack where we're at, are they? Now see, that's what fear will do for you. But God says over in Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. You know, I've got to admit that there's been times in my life that I've operated in fear. I know when I was, especially when I was a younger Christian, boy, I mean, I felt like I could move buildings with faith. I really did. But as a young Christian, as soon as something jumped up at me, it's like somebody jumping in behind the door, holler, boo, man, you jump, you run. That's kind of what I did. Man, I was strong until all of a sudden the enemy hit me. And here I was going, I hid the other way. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? Something going on. I don't know what to do about it. But as I reflected on what it meant to be moved by faith or to be moved by fear, we're going to be doing it. We're either going to be moved by faith or we're going to be moved by fear. And what one's actions and feelings would be like. There's a scripture over in Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And in Matthew 17:20 said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, the faith of a mustard seed is very small. So it doesn't take some big deal out here to believe God. All it takes is saying, Lord, I believe you and I trust you. It's just like if I told you something, And you knew that I was trustworthy, and I told you I was going to do something, you could expect I would be there to do it. But somebody that's not trustworthy, like the enemy, like the devil, that's not trustworthy, and he tells you that, then you can't believe a word he says. But so many people are living with the fear, with the word over here, of meditating on the negative instead of meditating on God, and their lives are being ruined, their lives are going to hell in a handbasket, and they don't know what to do about it, and then they're shocked when you tell them God will take care of it. Oh, really? Why does he care? I had a guy tell me the other day he's going to blow his brains out right in front of me. I looked at him and I said, no, you're not. You know why I said that? Because it wasn't him talking. That was an evil spirit coming out of that man. And I said, no, that's not going to happen. Why was I so strong, felt so strong, and why did I say that? Because I knew my God. You ever heard that story of Terry Myers about the guy shooting him, emptying his gun on him, except for one bullet? He couldn't understand why he couldn't kill him. That gun jammed on him. Who jammed it? And he turns the gun around, shoots it, and the bullet goes, choop. Hey, look, God's there for us. Don't you ever believe that God's not there for us. Fear causes us to operate out of flesh. It causes us to be self-centered and to believe the worst of other people. Fear can actually paralyze us. Did you know that? It can get you to the point that you don't have any idea what to do next. And you're afraid to make any kind of step whatsoever. Did you know that a lot of battered women, that's exactly why they're battered. That's why they're still with their husbands or with their mates, is because a spousal abuse is because they're operating out of fear. They're afraid of what would happen if they left because they have been threatened. We have been threatened, folks. I want to tell you something. The devil has threatened us with everything that could kill us and could destroy us. He's threatened us with it. But we've got to stand on the Word of God, and we've got to be strong in faith. And we've got to say, devil, get thee behind me, just like Jesus did in the wilderness. Get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me. Because the Word says, and I believe the Word. We've got to know the Scripture, and we're not going to know the Scripture unless we read it, unless we study it, unless we meditate. I got a guy that comes to the food bank again about a month ago. He came in one day, first week, and he came in the second week, and he said he couldn't read his Bible. He said, I don't understand it. And he said, well, what kind of Bible is it? It's a Gideon Bible. I said, it's King James Version, right? And he said, yeah, but I don't understand it. He said, it says things that I don't know what it's saying. And he said, I can't seem to follow it. So we have a stack of Bibles over there, and I was looking to see if I had another version, but I didn't. But I had a CD of the Bible over there. There's several of them in there, several CDs in. But it was the New Testament. I said, look, I said, let me give this to you. You take this. And I said, this is the Bible on tape. I said, you can listen to it. And I said, and then you can read along with it. So you can see it with your eyes and hear it with your ears. And I said, pray that God will give you the revelation. And you know, the next week he come in, a little smile on his face, and he said, I did that. And it's sure making things a little bit more clear. Each week he's done that. This week he asked me if I would like to have them back. I said, no, they're yours to keep. You keep reading that Bible. And you know what? I think it'll change his life. I think things will be different in his life as weeks go by, days go by. God has not given us a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, but of a power and of love and a sound mind. It is by faith that we are overcomers. For by faith our lives have been transformed. Faith is shown when we lay hold of the things of God in the face of the naysayers of the world. Continually pushing forward. Faith causes us to believe the best about other people. See, this is completely opposite of what we were going through over a while ago about fear, wasn't it? You can see what fear will do to you, but you can also see what faith in God and the promises of God, what it'll do for you on the opposite side of that when you meditate on His Word. It says faith causes us to look into hopeless situations and see the hand of God. Faith causes us to go that extra mile. That extra mile. To help that brother. Help that sister. Help that loved one. Pray for that one that is unlovable, so to speak. Faith causes us to put our arms around a brother or a sister that is hurting and encourage them. Faith causes us to reach out to people who have hurt or offended us. Faith causes us to love the unlovable. Faith causes us to keep going. Faith propels us toward the calling of God. Faith causes us to be strong in Him. Faith is what will mold us and make us into the image of God. Faith drives fear away. Faith brings victory. And faith brings peace. To operate in faith, we must stand and follow God in the face of all obstacles. For faith will allow us to see the victory when no one else can see it. Now, how, you know, I think about David a lot. David did a lot of things that a lot of us would have a lot of problem with today. And God had a problem with it too. Now, don't get me wrong. But you know what about David? David was quick. He was quick to ask for forgiveness. And David was quick to worship and praise God Almighty and to give him honor. And when he would bring him through a victory and a battle, he would give him the honor that he always knew who was bringing him through that victory. And for him to stand up in front of a giant, it had to be the anointing, the power of God upon him. It had to be his knowledge that God had already brought him through situations in his life that was devastating and could have been disastrous, but he knew that God had brought him through that. So when he faced one of the biggest battles in his life, he recalled, he went back, he recalled what God had done for him already in the past. See, we need to recall what God has done for us in the past when we're facing situations in our life, because the devil will come up and say, you're not going to make it on this one. This is not going to work for you. You say, devil, I want to remind you of something. Back 2 years ago when I was diagnosed with cancer and the doctors gave me 6 months to live, look, I am still living today. The power of God has healed me. Don't tell me that I cannot have this. Don't you dare tell me. Don't you dare tell Dodie Osteen she can't have a healing. Don't you dare tell somebody that has been brought out of the deathbed and tell them that God doesn't exist. Don't you dare. Devil, don't you dare talk to me like that. See, we have got to be strong in our faith, strong in our words towards the enemy, because that's what David was. David went to God a lot, distressed about his enemies, distressed about the people that was after him. He commented on that day in and day out. But then he'd turn right around and he'd realize what he was saying and realize that God was the answer and realize that God was going to pull him out of this. And then he would say, Lord, I can see. I can see the victory. I see them all encamped around me. I see where my help is coming from. It's coming from you, Lord. Yeah, devil, don't you dare. Don't you dare touch my children. Don't you dare touch my automobile. That's my source of traveling to and from church. Don't you dare touch that. Don't you dare touch my finances, because that's where I give my money and my seed to glory to God. Hey, that's where I plant my seed. That's where I sow into the ground. It's been cultivated for me so I can reap a harvest, so I can help others, so I can do what you've called me to do. Don't you dare, devil. Don't you dare try to talk to me about fear. See, we got to be strong in faith. That's one of the things that Jesus had a lot of problem with his disciples in their little faith, he would say, or no faith. They would always go wake him up in the boat and say, hey, come take care of this, Jesus. Or they try to cast the demons out of a guy and couldn't do it. Jesus did, and they asked him why he couldn't do it. He said, these things come from fasting and prayer. That means it comes from time, spending time with God, spending time knowing, and spending time to get that anointing and that power. Faith literally allows us to be formed into the anointed and powerful Christians that we're called to be. You know, I can just see Brother Shambaugh. I've seen him several times in meetings. And I can just see the devil walking up to Brother Shambaugh and telling him that he was going to die with cancer, or that he wasn't going to be able to make that next meeting down the road because he didn't have the finances to get there. I can just see Brother Shambach looking at him and said, "Devil, you better get out of my way. Because you got two choices. You either get out of my way or get run over. Because I'm going." I've had to walk in that kind of faith. I've had to walk in that kind of faith. In my ministry and in my personal life. I've had to be forceful. "You're not going to do it, Lord, devil. You're not going to bother this. You're not going to bother my family. You're not going to bother my ministry." We're not moved by what we see or by what we feel, but we are moved by what God says, and that's His promises. Our destiny is defined in God's Word and set forth by His blood that ran down the cross of Calvary. To operate in faith, we must choose. We have a choice to make. We must choose to operate in faith. We must choose to walk by faith and not by sight. We must choose to believe what God's Word says about healing rather than what the doctor says about sickness. We must choose that God said, "I will prosper you," and not that the devil says you have lack. We must choose to walk in faith. It's not, you know, we can come to church and we can sit on this pew right here or that pew there that I sit on. It's about every week that I come and every night that I come. And I can sit there and I can listen to sermons and I can just say amen and I can say glory to God and I can just have a wonderful time sitting there. But, you know, if I don't ever do anything with it, it'll never affect me. It'll never help me. It'll never cause me to be prosperous. It'll never cause me to have a healing. It'll never cause me to do anything for the Lord as long as I don't choose to exercise my faith in the things that I deal with on a daily basis. And that's exactly what we need to do. We need to be able to operate in faith in the power of His might on a daily basis. We are to get up every morning and say, "God, this is a day you have made for me. I'll rejoice in it. I'll be glad in it. Save now, O Lord." That's the next verse. "Send me prosperity." "Oh Lord, send now prosperity." And then believe that that's going to happen. Or wake up every morning and say, "God, I thank you that I am healed. I'm walking in your divine health." Or today, there's not anything going to, I'm going to have divine unprecedented favor in my life. Today is a blessing day for me, Lord. And I'm expecting, I'm going to get that first parking place. Wherever I go to park, I'm going to get that today. I'm going to have the favor when I go shopping. This business deal that I'm working on, I've got your favor on it, Lord. Man, it's going to happen. It's going to happen just like you said it would. We've prayed about it. We've believed it. And we know it's going to come to pass. I've got your divine favor on it. To operate in fear, we have to choose nothing but allow the enemy of God to overtake us. Kind of reminds us sometimes of the United States of America. If we never did anything, the enemy would overtake us. The enemy would take this country by a landslide, just like they tried to do 12 years ago. But because we stand, and because we've stood, and because we're a Christian nation, We have forwarded that. We are overcomers, people. We're not wimps. We belong to the army of God. And let me tell you, there's not anything that we cannot and should not be able to do according to the Word of God. One of the things that I pray over there when I pray at the food bank, I'll tell them, I'll say, there's not anything too big for God to do. There's not a problem you've got that God can't handle. It don't make any difference how little it is or how big. He is bigger than your problem. He's bigger than your situation. And if you'll turn it over to Him, cast your cares on Him because He cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7, I believe, says, you cast your cares on me because I care for you. I'll take care of it. Faith is not an easy walk. It's not. Because you got to do something. You know, those that don't do anything don't ever get anything accomplished. You know, since I retired, it would be real easy if I just get up every morning, get my coffee, and go out there and sit on the patio till about noon, and then say, well, it's getting too hot. I think I'll go and mess with my computer. And I could sit there all day and not get a thing done. And, you know, I could do that. And it was an adjustment when I retired not to do that. It was an adjustment because I was getting up already, you know, going to work, driving to Dallas every day. And it was an adjustment for me. But I realized that if I did not get up and have a plan of action for that day or for that week, then nothing at my house that I was supposed to do would ever get done. It would never, ever get done. And so you have to plan, and you have to realize that you got to do something. Well, the same thing goes with God. In order to have what you need or what God has promised you, you've got to do something. You got to do the Word. You got to meditate on the Word. You got to know the Word, and you got to exercise the Word, and you've got to you've got to take it to the levels that God has told you we need to go. But it's not easy, but it is the only walk that brings victory. Faith is the only walk that brings victory. Any other walk, you're not going to have any victory in it. And you can look at the drug addicts, you can look at the alcoholics, you can look at the prisons, and they'll tell you real quick. It wasn't that first cigarette they took, or that first joint, or that first beer, or that first whatever that got them where they were at. It's that next one, and that next one, and that next one. They got to the point that they could not reject it. They could not, they become addicted. And they see no way out. And quite frankly, a lot of them didn't want out. Again, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but God said, I come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. So faith is not an easy walk, but it's the only walk that brings victory. It is the only path that we can take and see other people's lives touched with the gospel. In closing, I pray that the Holy Spirit speaks to all of us. I know he has me. And he's challenging each of us to move in faith and in the power and the calling of God. You know, I think so many times the cares of this world has got us to a point that we ain't got time for God. Sports programs. I love sports. All day Sunday they got sports. If you follow the Rangers, they got a game every night of the week except one. Won't be long till basketball comes. Football on Thursday nights now. The other night they had doubleheaders. They got college football all day on Saturday. You know, you could spend, if you wanted to, you could spend every day of your week wrapped up on that television watching sports. But that's not what all's on there. There's a whole lot of other programs. And usually the good programs, or they claim to be good, comes on Sunday night or prime time or Wednesday night church services. But I am convinced that the reason we don't have the power and the anointing of God on our life like Smith Wigglesworth did, unlike some of the other patriarchs, is the fact that we're not centered in when we get up in the morning, we place our hands and our time and our life in the hands of God and say, God, it's yours. You do what you want to with it today. You send laborers across my path. You send people across my path for me to witness to today. Father, I pray that if someone is sick and hurting, please send them my way. I want to pray for them. You know, to be in tune with what God has called us to do. And God has called each and every one of us to do just that. Meditation, spending time with God, is very, very important. And if I don't leave you with nothing else but that tonight, remember that the devil wants to kill you. He wants to steal and destroy you, steal from you, destroy you. But God said, I want to give you life. I want you to have the abundant life. I want you to have the power. I want you to have the anointing. I want you to have the ability to step on the devil's head and tell him where he can get off at him and be able to rebuke him and come against him. See, the authority is ours. We just need to take it. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity tonight. I thank you, Lord, for this message. And Father, I got a lot out of it myself, Father. I thank you, Lord, that I want to do better. I want to serve you in a way, Father, that would be pleasing to you. And God, we just praise you and thank you, Lord, that we're going to walk in faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name, amen.